lessons I think we can learn from this discussion on is the earth flat or round? I'm Pastor David Gennaro, and this is Trust the Bible, growing your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. If you have any questions about the Bible, questions from this program, maybe about our church or free counseling ministry, the number to call is 943-8237, and I also encourage comments, questions, and feedback on our Facebook site, Trust the Bible. Just search for Trust the Bible, and it should come right up, and we'd welcome you to join that group and participate in the conversations on there. The number again is 943-8237. So if you're just jumping in, let me explain what we're doing. I'm talking about arguments that the earth is flat. There are many people who seriously believe the earth is flat. Let me give you another example of some of the kinds of arguments they'll use. They believe that the sun and the moon are not actually millions of years away, as science typically, or all science that I know of other than flat earthers teach. They believe that they are actually quite close to the earth, that they're much smaller than scientists teach, and that they hover in a circular pattern above the flat circular shape of the earth. And they also believe that the moon gives off its own light, that the moon does not reflect light from the sun, right? That would be impossible if they were separate disks hovering at a relatively close distance from the earth. They would say about 32 miles, I think it is. So clearly the moon could not reflect the sun's light if it was just a disk hovering alongside with the sun. And so their explanation is that the moon gives off its own light, and that the moon is actually transparent. And they will cite two different things, typically, to support this, because if you say, well, that's just absolutely crazy. Well, again, how do you know it's crazy? Is it just because you think it's crazy or that scientists say that that's crazy? I mean, have you actually gone up 32 miles in the atmosphere to see that it's not true? That, you know, how do you personally know, other than what others have told you, photographs which could be doctored? You know, anything that you cite, unless you personally are an astronaut or a scientist that has carefully investigated and done the math yourself, a flat earther could call into question and say, well, you don't really know that. And there's some reality to what they're saying. We don't really know it in a 100% proven kind of way. We are, in a sense, relying on others, trusting the information from others. So what kind of things would they say about the moon? Well, they would say the moon, you can look at it in the sky. If you look at the moon, if it's up in the sky during the day, and let's say it's a half moon, and you look at it, half the moon appears to be blue, covered in sky. Now, why would that be? It looks like you can see right through the moon. You can see the sky through the moon. Well, they would say because it's transparent, and sometimes only part of it is giving off light. Well, a scientist would say, no, what you're actually seeing is you're not seeing through the moon, you're seeing our atmosphere covering over the moon, and the part that is not lit up by the sun is not bright enough, does not give off enough light to get through our atmosphere. You can think of our atmosphere as functioning kind of like a fog, and the light from the sun hitting the atmosphere gives it that blue color, and there's just not enough light from the moon so that you can see the moon during the day, the dark part. But the light part that the sun is reflecting off of has enough light to make it through that coloring of our atmosphere. So for me, the scientific explanation makes perfect sense. I don't really know exactly why we would see through the moon in the flat earth model, but that's what they'll argue. And it is true. It's a little confusing when you look at the sky and see the moon. Why is half of it the same color as the rest of the sky? But these are the kind of arguments you get into if you were to debate with a flat earther, and you actually find it's much more difficult than you might have initially realized. That it does require a good amount of scientific knowledge to really understand why what they're saying is not right. They would also quote the Bible. They would say Isaiah chapter 13 verse 10 says the following: "The stars of heaven and their constellations will not show their light. The rising sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light." Ah, so there's coming a time when the moon won't give its light. That must mean that the moon does normally give light. Again, I think this is reading the Bible in an overly literal way. I think we can trust the Bible. I think we can believe every word is true. And that even what it affirms with regards to scientific matters is true. I absolutely believe that. So what do you do with a passage like this? Well, the moon does give light, in a sense. It is light that bounces off of it from the sun. The original source is the sun, and the moon reflects that light. But the moon is giving light in that sense. The Bible is not trying to give us a scientific explanation of astronomy or light or anything else. The Bible is just speaking in normal, everyday language. And so we also will use figures of speech, like, this morning I saw the sunrise. Well, we know that the sun didn't literally rise. We know that the earth is spinning, and it just looks like the sun is rising from our perspective, but we still use words like sunrise and sunset, and that doesn't mean that we're scientifically illiterate people. The same thing is true with the Bible. Yes, there are metaphors, there are figures of speech, there are phrases like that that recognize how things maybe appear or how we would talk about things in common terms. It's not necessarily scientific language. Okay, so what can we begin to learn from this? Well, I'm going to cover more of this tomorrow, but one thing I would say is when you're discussing something, whether it be religious matters or even if we're talking about politics or anything, understand that there are always going to be two views that can explain, or almost an infinite number of views, really, that could explain all of the facts, all of the data. So in a political debate, you know, you can cite economic data. You can talk about if the unemployment rate is higher now or lower now. You can talk about if the debt is higher now or lower now. And, you know, there are going to be explanations from both the left and the right side of the political spectrum as to why that is and why their side is right. Well, you know, it's the previous administration's fault why this number is going down. Or clearly it's our party's credit that things are going well right now, you know, and there'll be arguments on both sides of that no matter what the data is. The same thing is going to be true with religion. You know, if we're trying to find out, is the Bible true? Or if we're asking, you know, is there a God or not? You know, there are going to be different positions, and we can even look at the same data and we can come to very different conclusions. And so the question for us should be, you know, how can we make use of that as when we're trying to talk about the Bible? And if you're trying to explain why you believe the Bible, well, understand, first of all, that you're not going to have this foolproof argument. No matter how much evidence I present on this program that the Bible is true, you can find a way to not believe it. You can find a way to explain it away. But that doesn't mean that you're making smart or reasonable choices with your beliefs. The key for me when it comes to what is true is to come to the conclusion of what is most reasonable, what makes sense. Because I could go down to sit in a chair and I could go crazy wondering, is the chair really there? I'm about to sit in this chair. I see the chair. I can even touch the chair and feel the chair, and I can push on the chair and it seems solid. But I could come up with some other explanation for the facts. I could say, well, maybe it's a hologram. Some alien has control of my mind and is making me think I can see and feel the chair, but the moment I go to sit down, the chair is just going to disappear. You know, that's a possibility, and I could think of an explanation for all of the data, the chair seems to be there but isn't really there. But at the end of the day, we don't do that. At the end of the day, we see a chair, we need to sit down, we sit down. We don't think about this stuff. The same thing needs to be true with the Bible. Understand, you can never prove anything with 100% certainty without any other possible explanation out there. But at some point, you have to just trust what is reasonable and what makes best sense. And I'm going to talk more about how we do that tomorrow and continue to kind of wrap up this flat earth discussion. Until next time, remember, you can trust the Bible.